We're going to be in Genesis 9, so you can open there if you want. 9, 8 through 12, I strongly suggest opening there. I'm extremely dyslexic and known to swap around sentences, so it's always good to get some fact-checking in there. But we'll do our best tonight. I want to start in 9, 8 through 12. I want to read. We're going to talk about the story of Noah tonight. So I'm going to start with reading in verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. Oh, hold up. We're on page 3 of my notes. Here we go. Okay, this is right. False start, 10-yard penalty. All right, so yeah, Genesis 9 through 8, we're going to be going through the story of Noah, but I want to start reading these verses. So I'm going to just start from the top again, verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that come out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant I am making between you and I and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds on earth, and the rainbow appears in clouds, I will remember my covenant between you and between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all earth. Verse 16. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind of earth. I think for the most part, we're all fairly familiar with the story of Noah. Genesis 6 and 5 kind of sets up the backdrop of the story and describes why the flood was necessary. It tells the wickedness of mankind. In verse 5 it goes, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of thoughts of humans, of human heart, was only evil at all time. So mankind created from Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, right? We have the first murder, and it's kind of all downhill from there. And men were just given to the holy over to lust of the flesh. And something I thought was interesting is it's mentioned specifically that men were extremely violent. Both in verses 11 and 13, it talks about the violence of men. So not only were we, like mankind was given over to the lust of the flesh and every desire, but also we were extremely violent, which is just something, it's like human carnality at its peak is just, it's violence. But in this story and in this structure of it, we read through it, and it's something very interesting in how the story of Noah is written. And it's set up in a way that the author of Genesis writes out and describes the situation and what's happening. And it's like a little tag at the end of each paragraph. So you have a paragraph that sets up the situation and what's going to happen. And at the end you have a tag where it describes something about Noah. And it's followed by a statement of faith. And something like, and Noah did what he was told. Like verse 22 says, Noah did everything just as God had commanded. It's simple. It's so simple. You have, like that's exactly how Satan wants it. Like how the world operates is that paragraph, right? And it's it can feel complex. There's a lot going on. There's evil. There's things going around. But then we're just reminded, simply, Noah did everything just as God commanded. Like, why do we complicate life when we could just live like Noah simply as God commanded? So Noah, in this, it's a, this story, and as I was writing this, I was writing story, but I wanted to think of a way to say, how could I say story more? Like, it's a real life event. Like, when we say, sometimes when we say story on these Old Testament things that happened, we think of it as a tale. Because they're so crazy, God works in such amazing ways that we say story because it's easier for us to separate in our brain. But no, like, this happened. And just like I opened with talking about, like, grace shutting the door, like, Noah builds the ark by faith, but God's the one who shuts the door. And as I was, you know, thinking about that and kind of praying over tonight, I thought a lot both about Noah and Abraham and how with Noah, he, by faith, created the ark. God told him to build up the ark, but then God shut the door. And in the same way with Abraham, God visits him, but he makes a covenant with himself. So like where Noah is by faith, by grace, he's doing what God's commanded, but God is starting the solution and finishing the solution. It's like verse 22 says, simple. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. God doesn't need us to be in that paragraph, involved in the chaos. Like, he doesn't need us to be sucked into that to trying to fight these things. He needs us, like verse 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. It's our obedience, simple obedience that he wants. Not for the sake of obedience, because there's nothing that we could offer him, but obedience so that we can draw closer to him and have a better understanding of his love and grace for us. So let me say that again, maybe in a less confusing way. We could be over here trying to be obedient, like a child wanting to please their parents. Like a kid wanting to make their parents proud, they're going to try and do everything in their own capacity just so that they can make the parent proud. But, and that's great. That's like, in a way, we are trying to do that for God. But it's not so much so God can look at us and say, look, they're obedient. He wants us to be obedient so that we're closer to him. He doesn't care about if we're perfectly obedient. He just cares that we're closer. Because in obedience, we're closer to God. There's that fellowship. Just like when we're in sin, it can push us farther away from God. When we're in obedience and in the Word, it can draw us closer. And the point of drawing closer is so that God can show more and more his love. I want to read in verse 8 now. The water is subsiding and God's creating a covenant with Noah. Verse 8 starts, then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. We're going to keep reading in verse 12. Wow. Thank you, Pastor Bailey, for the water. I'll Venmo you. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between you and every living creature with you. Covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds and will be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring the clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between you and all living creatures of the earth, all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all earth. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind of earth. This is like kind of the point I really want to talk about tonight is this covenant with the rainbow. And we all know what month we're in. This is the month where we've skewed the month of June. We've like tainted it to become Pride Month, right? The month where we're supposed to be celebrating people's sexuality outside of the will of God. And you know, we typically see that it progressively gets more, right? As society gives in more and more to the flesh, these things become more and more. And they take, there's something so powerful about the promises of God. And Satan recognized that. And so he takes this covenant God's made with us, the rainbow, and he says, I want this to be the banner of immoral sexuality. I want this to be the point of that. So when people look at that, their minds can be taken away from the beautiful promise of God to whatever emotions come with that flag. You know, for some it could be anger. For some it could be like excitement. Maybe you're somebody, you know, in that movement. But just by looking at the flag, you're pulled away. Looking at the rainbow, you're pulled away from the thought of God and what he's promised with that. But we don't have to, like, get sucked into that. Like, we are here with the option to look at the rainbow and said, I know that my God chose to save Noah based upon his own ability, based upon his own grace, because he loved us, and Noah was a righteous man before God. Does that mean Noah was perfect? No. Noah was righteous, and especially before all the other men who were continually doing only evil and violent, Noah's righteous. He was not perfect. We see at the very end in the chapter, he's given over to drunkenness, and he's in his, you know, in his tent. He gets wasted after God saves them. So not perfect, but we don't need to be perfect. So God is, like, we now, because of Noah, because of this story, we don't have to give into what that influx in society of people wanting to push us to recognize the rainbow as a symbol of that movement. We're so free to recognize that as, look what God has done. Look at his mercy on the earth. His mercy still extends. And we could, whoa, how about that for a great evangelical tool, a great tool in evangelism. You can walk up to somebody and say, hey, do you know what the rainbow stands for? Do you know what that flag with a bunch of colors, do you know where those colors actually come from? And then you could tell them about the story of Noah and God's grace for them. We can, we could look up at the rainbow, and we could also think about the Bible too, where we found out about this story. We were talking last night in the young adults Bible study, just like, it was a fantastic night. We had an awesome testimony from a guy who's been going there, and off and on he's been going, but he rededicated his life to Christ and was so pumping. We were so pumped up, was so excited. He told us about it, and just the excitement in the faith, like it was there, like we were all together and we were excited and the faith was there, and we can be built up by each other and also built up by the Bible. So when we look at the rainbow, we can think about the Bible. We can meditate on the Bible. Like, God's creation is a reminder to us about him. Like, we could look at this rainbow and the story, and we could think how incredible the stories in the Bible. And then our minds can be meditating on that instead of getting just completely sucked up into the commotion, into that paragraph from the beginning of this message, right, where that's where we want to go, where it's random, it's chaos. But wait, we can look at the rainbow. We can be reminded about God's grace and his covenant and his promise. We can think about the Bible. We can stay grounded in his faith and also find joy and encouragement in it and share that with other people. Like, we have an amazing life with God, and he's given us these things to remember. So that's what I have tonight. And then I guess I'll just pray, and then Andy will come up. So, Lord, thank you. We want to pray tonight that everything we do, Lord, we can find. You can create a space in our mind, Lord, that where we see something and we think of the Bible instead of the stress of the situation or the frustration in it or the temptation in it. We can go to a Bible story. We can go to a scripture verse. We can be people who have a love for the Word and a love for you and a love for missions, Lord, and that we can be encouraged by one another, encourage one another, and just find rest and satisfaction in your plan for us. And we pray. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Brian. So as many of you may know, some folks are down in Baltimore this week, down in that convention. So there's many people down there. Some of us couldn't go. I'm among them, of course, so I'm here. But others have gone down. Pastor Billy has gone down, some others. I think Pastor Billy went down earlier on Sunday, perhaps. Yeah, so who went down a lot earlier? Interesting you said that story about evangelism and the rainbow. I think that's a great view on, in evangelism. It's a great tactic, too, to use that in a more powerful and more godly way, frankly. You know, I think that was a good example. I was on, we were in Montreal. It was with Pastor Bailey. And I don't know if anybody has gone evangelizing with Pastor Bailey, but he just has, I think, a really great way of coming up to people and just asking them these just random questions. He'll just start talking to people. He just walks up to people and says, so where's a good place to get something to eat? And you start talking to them. And next thing you know, we talk about something else. And then, 10 minutes later, we're still having a conversation with this person. And it swings back to, what are the issues of the church today and you're happening in Montreal? So it's like this huge swing of topics, and it's interesting. By that point, some people either hang around or they say, I see what you're doing here. I'm going to go. It's a mixed bag. All right, God just ask you to bless these words, bless the information I'm giving me to share here. We just ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the other things I wanted to, there are a few things in here that actually Brian spoke about. Obedience is one of them that is on the list of things that I was going to touch on. So it's quite interesting how God does that and weaves these messages together, but I really wanted to share a thought about taking a deeper dive, and taking a deeper dive into Scripture specifically. So for those that may not know what a deeper dive, I'm talking about taking a deeper understanding and a deeper grasp of knowledge and information within something. So you're diving into the Word, you're taking a deeper dive. And when we do this, we can only discover what the best of what God has in store for us, through a greater connection with Him. So we take a deeper dive into Scripture. And last Sunday, Pastor Bailey was talking about in Genesis 22:8, when Abraham was taking Isaac up the hill and taking him to the altar. So Abraham trusted that God would provide. So Abraham was a man of faith, and he knew that God's provisions that were strategically located along the pathway that he was following. And that is true for all of us, that God places these provisions strategically all around us. And you might think, I'm over here. I got into traffic jam. How was that a strategic provision for me? Maybe that if you left 10 minutes earlier, there might have been a car accident or something else that kind of came up that happened that, saved you from that incident. I think, Sal, you shared with me one time, you're at the intersection where 85 meets right near the highway over here, that direction. Right. So it was coming right past Assabet, right at the corner, and he stopped, and then a car, something happened where you just literally missed a car there. So it was an amazing thing where, just life is precious, and you never know what can happen. And God's provision is always there for us. And not only, that's kind of just an example I was thinking of that kind of just hit me now. But in general, God does provide. He does provide provisions for us. And they're not always of material value. They're not always of safety. They could be something else. It could be something in our heart that He provides for us along the way. How to deal with something. How to deal through a situation. So when we take a deeper dive, really, in our walk with Him, that our spiritual discernment increases, right? We start to understand a little more of what God has in store potentially for us. So when these things start to crop up, we really get a better understanding from the Lord's viewpoint, the lens of how we live in this world, how we interpret Scripture, how we look at the way that we're progressing in our path and in our lives. So we can also look at how we can start to separate trust from error, I think the rainbow is a good example of that. You know, how can we look at trust and look at something that's in a different way, as Brian had mentioned. But taking a deeper dive is sometimes in discernment specifically is a skill that we can all develop and grow. You know, but it takes time, and it begins by getting into the Word. Right? This is where we start. This is where we finish. Right here. Right? We get into this. So that's a big thing that we all do. We all do all the time, probably. You know, we all probably listen to, maybe we get a devotion, maybe we get it from different areas, we get the Word in different places. But taking that deeper dive, that alone time, is really important. That quality time with God where you're actually just in the Word, looking at certain scriptures and studying. That's the part that is really sometimes a challenge to get that kind of time. But when you have it, it's a time to cherish it. So we can stop when we get into the Word. We can really stop wandering around in this uncertainty, you know. And maybe this darkness that's around us, you know, that insecurity starts to go down. The insecurity maybe about our decisions, our situation. Those things start to decrease, you know. Maybe we can, and the Word starts to build us up, and our life starts to increase more, you know. So as we dig into the Word, we feel more confident. So the other thing is that a deeper dive takes us out of a comfort zone. So if we're looking at a Christian life and we're saying, you know, we everything's good, everything's grand, and I'm just going to sort of stay here, stay in the harbor, so to speak. You know, I'm just going to stay in the harbor. Everything's good. There's no wind. There's no major activity happening here. But there's a whole sea of activity, even though it's rough and it's dangerous. But there's a greater adventure that lies ahead, you know. So it's really about breaking away from that comfort zone to take a deeper understanding of what God has in store for us, because life is an adventure, and there are a lot of different things that God does put in our lives at different times in our lives too, and he pushes our knowledge and our understanding of things, because just when you think you get to a point and you say, yeah, I know that scripture, oh yeah, I've been through that, yeah, I've experienced this, that, and the other. Just when you feel like you've gotten to that point, God's right there to say, oh, what about this? You know, what about that? And you need a Word to quicken yourself in that moment to say, oh, yeah, I need to change a little. I need to take a deeper dive into the Word. So that kind of process just is habitual. You get into the Word, and that's a good thing. It's a good habit, you know, to get into the Word. But I was thinking of specifically just really just three things I was going to look at to get into the Word. If we turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14. It says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We're talking about, in this here, is the first thing I wanted to talk about was discernment, really. And trusting obedience to better understand. So in Brian's example of the young child looking up to a father wanting to please the parent, in that type of obedience, we are looking in with trusting obedience to God for spiritual discernment. And when that comes, it comes from within, that the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to us through within us, you know, through us. And we really need to have that obedience. We have to have some sort of ability to let go of certain things, to let go of our own control, to let go of how we want to take care of a situation or how we understand a situation, and really look to God first. You know, if you have a question about something, where do you go first to find the answer? You should go to the Bible. This is the lens to which you should try to find all the answers. There are some answers you might not find in the Bible, how to tie your shoe. You know, those are things we learn, of course, but... You know, how do we learn about grace and love? we read it here. You know, and those are deeper. It's a deeper dive into certain things that really touch our hearts. So in this process, we really, that the first one was trusting obedience to better understand. But the second one was about submitting ourselves to the Father's teaching. And this is really about that process of cutting the ties of what we know or the things that might hold us back. You know, this Holy Spirit's going to guide us when we allow it. But these things that when we submit ourselves to the Father's teaching, that really sets us out. It sets us out from the harbor into the ocean. It sets us off on an adventure that some of us may not be willing to take. You know, it's a challenging time, but there's an old saying, it's calm waters make for a dull sailor. I think that's something along those lines. So we want to be good sailors. You know, we want to make sure that we know how to navigate rough waters. You know, that's the point. We want to be able to be in a situation that we have discernment, that we are trusting in God and He's leading us. So we want to cut those ties. And if you turn with me to John 12, verses 44 to 46. He says, "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into this world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness.'" So we are abiding in light. We are abiding in Jesus. We are abiding in the messenger, right? Or the one that has come to save us, Jesus. We are abiding in him. And the Father has given us, and God has given us this Bible, this word, for us to dig into, to take that deeper dive. So we submit ourselves through that process, through taking a deeper dive and looking to the word for that kind of guidance. In Proverbs 9, verses 9 to 10, it says, "Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wise, and will be still wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So we submit ourselves to the teaching, and we submit ourselves to the word and to the book. And in that process, we are gaining in knowledge and understanding. We're becoming wiser. We're becoming the ability to bring truth to others that may not know it. They may be caught in this world. They may be caught up in whatever trend is happening at the moment. But we bring the word and we bring the gospel to them so that they can understand. They can get out of that wandering through the darkness. And we can set them free from that too and bringing them to the light. So the second one was submitting to the teaching. And the third one I was mentioned here is that we fill our thoughts with his thoughts. So we fill our thoughts with his thoughts. You know, we look to the word and his thoughts are in here. God's thoughts are in here. We fill ourselves with those thoughts and those fill our day. We learn how to, we start to love. We love the word. We love ourselves. We love our neighbors. And it overflows. The cup overflows. And we start to know God's love. And then really, at that point, when we start to understand God's love, we start to focus on what matters most in our lives. You know, what matters most. There's a lot of things we can kind of focus on when we think about that question. What matters most in our lives, you know? But the things of God matter most. The things of God are the things that will really fulfill us. Because we were not going to find them out there down Route 20 or wherever. You know, we're not going to find Route 9 or wherever you're going, wherever your destination is. We're not going to find them out there. It's going to be right in here. We're going to find God's word is going to bless us. And God's going to touch our hearts through love. And if we look at Matthew 22, verses 37-39. So Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." We learn to love. Start with the word. Start to love the word. Start to get into the word. Take a deeper dive. You know, by number one, trusting obedience and start to build that spiritual discernment. Number two, you submit yourself to the Father's teaching. And number three, we fill our thoughts with his thoughts. Those are ways to take a deeper dive. You know, to take a deeper dive into the word and to take a deeper dive into your own faith in your own walk. You know, we lean into this faith and we embrace the truth. We embrace this truth to a better experience God's plan. And God's plan can be creative, can be nothing like the plan that you might think is good for you. Sometimes I think, hey, I got this great plan. And then it goes out the window, and I think, well, God, that was a great plan. What happened? You know? I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody else, but yeah, never. So sometimes that happens. And when it does, you know, it's a humbling experience, but we're filled with grace. You know, we have grace for ourselves. You know, and that's an important part of that process. We got to love ourselves in this process. But we, in through that, and through the Word, we take a deeper dive into this to guide us and to really fulfill us in life. Amen? All right. Dear God, we're just, we're grateful for the ability to come together, Lord. We're just grateful for your Word. We're grateful for your love. We're grateful for all of the things that you provide for us, from the big to the small, to the air we breathe, to the food on the table, to the shelter we may have, Lord. We're just grateful. Grateful for the love that you bring to our hearts, the Word that you've given us, the manual you've given us to live life, and how we can view life. Lord, we just ask, we just pray for safe travels to anyone going to and from Baltimore to convention. We pray that those that can't make it or couldn't make it this year, Lord, just ask that you give them a provision to go in the future. They can experience the fellowship down in Baltimore. And we just pray that you touch the hearts of those that weren't able to make it tonight. Maybe just quicken them and with the love of a neighbor, from someone in the community. Lord, we just ask you, just help us reach those. We just ask you, just help us reach those that need your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I guess we're dismissed. So, no closing song tonight. So,